We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
Kim Carafano coming up here in just a couple of minutes. I highlighted a story, and we're still trying to get her on here, if schedule allows. There's a Hollywood, I guess I would describe her as, well, she has a website called awardsdaily.com. Sasha Stone is her name. And we used to be friends on Facebook. I stopped following her because she was so bat blank crazy with politics and anti-Republican this. And I knew Sasha just from the movies, and she's very influential in who wins awards like Oscars and Golden Globes and Critics' Choice Awards, because she and her site have gotten and garnered a lot of attention from the Hollywood folks. So I was shocked to read in the New York Post a piece that she wrote a couple of weeks ago, and then it was highlighted by some folks on Substack, where she just rips into the Biden administration and the Democrats, saying that she was writing this in the immediate aftermath of that creepy, weird speech with the red lights behind Biden from a few weeks ago. And she pointed out a lot of things that a lot of us have been talking about on the conservative side, which leads me into Matt Taibbi. Matt Taibbi is the same guy. Same thing. He was a lefty columnist, journalist for Rolling Stone for many years. Oh, Matt Taibbi loves scaring people about climate change. Loved, loved, loved. I'd actually like to talk with Matt about climate change, because he's had a change of heart when it comes to some of these other things, and he's right to have a change of heart. So this is his latest column, and we got some audio with this as well. Mercifully, he writes. Now, again, this guy is way left. Sasha Stone, who I just talked about. These are not just to a little bit to the left. They're way out there, or have been in the past. So he says, mercifully, let me say this, though, about Matt Taibbi. He is a libertarian. So I think that plays in here. But anyway, he goes, mercifully, the January 6th committee hearings in Congress were canceled yesterday, presumably because Hurricane Ian's landfall would have botched ratings. With midterms approaching, Democrats have a lot riding on January 6th and are growing impatient. New York Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney, who runs the party's campaign arm, even grumbled about a lack of indictments. His quote was, I think it's going to be very hard for people to understand if there aren't any actions by the Justice Department to hold people accountable. At this point, I have to sneeze, and I don't want to do it on the air, so I might have to turn my mic off just a little bit. Hang on. Hang on. Oh, went away. Okay. If you were watching on the Twitter, you saw that I did sneeze, and hopefully I spared the audience. As with, Taibbi writes, as with Ukrainegate and impeachment and Russiagate before that, polls show January 6th remains very low on the list of voter concerns. Taibbi points out the cratering economy is first. However, the reason it may, quote, be hard for people to understand, unquote, as Maloney says, is that Congress has spent too much time blurring lines between election denial and conspiracy to overturn the result. If they just focused on the latter, and they have produced evidence like Trump asking, you know, Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen to seize voting machines, the hearings might be more effective, even with Republicans. Taibbi admits they haven't been, for reasons made obvious by Matt Orfalea's damning video. And I'm going to play that video here in a second, just some of the audio. YouTube has already demonetized it, which is hilarious, amid sweeping efforts to punish election denial in the Trump context, both criminally and with censorship, an almost exactly similar denial campaign that inspired 4+ years of blue politics has been dropped down a memory hole. Now, we've reminded people of this quite a bit. I think those of you listening to 97.1 FM Talk, you know a lot of this, right? But people on the left are finally maybe realizing how hypocritical some of this is. So Matt Arfilia puts this video out, and this is what it sounds like.
So if we're all in agreement that it is incorrect to say the 2020 election was stolen, what about the 2016 election?
Look, I'm not going to
go back into history.
It was a stolen election.
It was stolen.
Stolen. He's an illegitimate president.
He's an illegitimate president.
You know, pretending to be president.
Why do you think the president is going to such great lengths to essentially prove that he beat you?
Because he didn't.
One third of Clinton supporters say Trump election is not legitimate.
I think he's an illegitimate president that didn't really win.
You are absolutely right.
You can run the best campaign. You can even become the nominee. And you can have the election stolen from you.
The 2016 election was stolen.
Got a nicer way to say that?
Say Russia hacked the election.
Russia hacked our election.
Russia hacked our election.
A little louder, please.
Russia hacked our election.
That was a 9/11 scale event.
This was a kind of cyber 9/11.
American institutions. 9/11.
Yes.
Russia hacked our election.
Russia, you know, of course, hacked our election.
This is unbelievable. Half of Clinton's voters believe the conspiracy theory that Russia hacked Election Day votes.
We know that they were into voting roles, actual interference with the elections themselves.
We know it happened.
Despite no credible evidence, 67% of Democrats believe Russia tampered with vote tallies.
Hacking the U.S. election.
Hacking the U.S. election.
Russia hacked our election.
The Russians hacked our election.
Russia hacked our election.
Russia hacked our election.
Russian hacking of our election.
Hacking of our election.
Russia hacked our election.
I mean, it was Hall of Fame level media malpractice day after day after day. That is a great video. And Matt Taibbi, who is a journalist and he's a reporter and he's covered things for years, I think that he's to the point where he just can't live with himself anymore if he doesn't, and Bill Maher's like this right now, if he doesn't expose the BS that happens in the media every day. So he points out when writing about this video, led by the losing candidate in 2016, Democratic Party officials, along with politicians, along with law enforcement and intelligence officials and media, most importantly, the media, spent years denying the legitimacy of the Trump presidency based on an equally specious, dishonest formulation. The election was hacked. You just heard it there, right? Moreover, they instigated removal efforts based on the same declare guilt now, prove it later mentality that gripped figures like Trump and Giuliani in 2020. Matt's question is, how different really is just say it was corrupt and leave the rest to me from we just have to dig deeper and do the investigation and find it? It's a good question. January 6 hearings, ironically, are an outgrowth of the Democrats' own 6-year-long election denial endeavor involving the same people who pushed attempts to remove Trump based on manufactured theories of foreign collusion. I mean, God bless Matt Taibbi for being honest here. He goes, there's an automatic boy who cried wolf factor built into the hearings that include the likes of Adam Schiff. I can't go into particulars, but there's more than circumstantial evidence now. That was a quote. Jamie Raskin, Donald Trump is the hoax perpetrated on the Americans by the Russians. Moreover, he said, congressional Democrats' successful push for censorship on platforms like Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, a campaign that began even before January 6th, revealed that the party considers the act of denial itself illegitimate and banworthy, if not criminal. But how can that be if, as the video and the audio that you heard shows, the party's own leaders engage in the same behavior? How can declaring the 2020 election illegitimate be prohibited if saying the same thing about 2016 was and is encouraged? Now, he says the two stories obviously aren't the same, but there's a lot more similarities than we've been led to believe. That was a great, great column, and Taibbi continues to knock it out of the park. And again, there's a lot of shock factor. I don't know if you have the perspective of people like Matt Taibbi or the aforementioned Sasha Stone, because they were way out there on the fringe in the past. Okay, I think we have Carafano, Heritage Foundation scholar. We got to see him earlier this summer at a great event. That might have been in the spring because time is going by very quickly. Jim, how are you this afternoon?
Hey, it's great to be with you. It's really interesting listening to that story that we just heard. Politicians always do that, right?
Yeah.
They always take these irrational extreme positions. What's changed is all the checks and balances in civil society, in the open sphere, which, you know, used to throw red flags and say, oh, come on. And corporate behavior is one of them, because corporate boards have become essentially cannons of the left. All they're doing really is parroting the political views of the left, and the same with the media. I think the most egregious example of that we saw the other day is, if you saw the piece on 60 Minutes with the interview with the congressman who was the lead investigator on J6. And, you know, in the old days, 30 years ago, if Chris Wallace was doing an interview, a 60 Minutes interview was a grueling episode where they hammered at you to check.
Yes,
you know,
and tough questions, right?
And now this guy, it was basically a Nancy Pelosi infomercial. I mean, that's how much things have changed.
Well, the checks and balances are important, because if you have, and this is tough, because when Trump said the media is the enemy of the people, I didn't like it. But, Jim, it is so hard to deny that each and every day when I see the media malpractice. I mean, the omissions, the things that they don't include, the things that they do include, this whole climate change nonsense with the hurricane. There are no checks and balances, because the woke editors at newspapers and at television networks, they won't even allow the other side. Like, there's not even an allowance for someone like Matt Taibbi to come on TV on CNN and say, look, you guys are hypocritical because you did this in 2016. They won't even allow it. They want to make people think that nothing happened here, nothing to see here. And it happens every damn day.
We just had another example in foreign policy. So we have this parroting back and forth that the new elected prime minister of Italy is somehow a fascist, which is completely not true. I mean, if you listen to our views on family, gender, education, taxes, they're essentially what 70 million Republicans would believe. And she's tough on China. She's tough on Russia. I mean, she's only a fascist because she doesn't agree with the elites in Washington and in Brussels. And to see, like, CBS lead with a party with fascist roots, because I'm trying to remember the last time CBS or CNN did a piece where they said the Democratic Party with roots in slavery.
Yeah, yeah.
As if the original historical roots of the party tell you anything about the nature of the party today. Some of the worst reporting we've ever seen, and there is no excuse for it, because literally you could Google in 5 seconds and challenge these premises, and essentially they're too lazy to even do that.
Well, it's. I highlight these things all the time, and there is no better example than what happened with the Duke BYU story from a few weeks ago. And you know, I don't want to go into all the details, but there was this allegation of a black volleyball player at Duke playing in, you know, Salt Lake City, Brigham Young, and in theory, this is what the media told us, that every time she came up to serve, someone dropped the N-word on her. But miraculously, even though with thousands of people in an arena, nobody caught that on video. And you know why, Jim? You know why. Because it never flipping happened. But to this day, you have media that are running with that story like it did happen and acting like new facts haven't come out. And they do this so often. It's unbelievable, and it just pisses me off.
Here's the interesting thing to me, right? Because despite all of that, all the checks and balances really evaporating. If you look at the American people and their views on these issues, where they're told, don't think that, whether it's questioning climate policy or election integrity or education or taxes or whether there's a recession or not, the administration and the political leader underwater on all these things. Nobody believes them. And to me, that's a real source of optimism in democracy, in a sense that not only our elites, but the entire civil society is telling us one thing, and we thinking as free individuals believe something else. And a lot of that for reasons like you. I mean, talk radio and other places where people can have an alternative viewpoint and get to make up their own minds.
You know, you mentioned, I have to slip this in because I took a picture of it earlier. I went to one of our malls. I had my Apple MacBook crashed, so I had to take it to the Apple store, and I went back. They actually fixed it very quickly. I was appreciative of that, and I picked it up today. And I had to walk through where I parked at this mall here in St. Louis, West County Mall. I walked through Nordstrom, and they have big signs at Nordstrom that say, and I took a picture of it. I'll tell you what the woman said when she passed me, too. It says, Nordstrom celebrates Hispanic and Latinx Heritage Month. So I pulled up to the sign in the middle of Nordstrom, and I took a picture of it, and somebody walked by and said, can I help you find anything? And I said, no, I'm just taking a picture of that because nobody says the word Latinx, and it's embarrassing for Nordstrom. I didn't say that. I did say that on Twitter.
Yeah.
But it's just such a joke. It really is. Hispanic people are embarrassed by that. I hope Hispanic people don't go to Nordstrom when they see that sign. They'll say, we don't use that word. Why are you using it? Well, they're using it because they're virtue signaling. That's all they're doing.
Right. On issue after issue, and climate. So I just got back from here. I was with 50 different conservative organizations all over the map, libertarian, all kinds of. And what's interesting is, what were they worked up about? They are sick to death of woke. They want immigration reform and border security.
Yes.
They want to reject these stupid energy policies because they're killing their economies. And they want peace through strength, and they want to be protected.
And they don't want to be locked down unnecessarily when
done with COVID.
Right.
They sound just like us. And so it's not just, we're crazy loons. We just had an election in Sweden that pulled the country to the right, Estonia that reaffirmed the country to the right, Italy, the UK. We have a more conservative prime minister just came in and cut taxes. Spain, the conservatives are ascendant in Spain. This notion that somehow it's just a bunch of populist crazy people.
Yeah.
That's just nonsense.
Right. Well, if the media was honest, maybe they would debunk that. So this guides us into Jim Carafano was with us from Heritage, discussion about Iran, because I haven't talked about that very much. I've seen some videos of the protests. Can you explain what's happening in Iran right now? And is it relevant to us here?
Yeah, there's two things. One, of course, is the Iran deal looks to be deader than dead, which is shocking because the administration, they banked everything on the Iran deal solving all the problems. And even the Iranians wouldn't go for it, even though we wanted to give them like $1 trillion. And so the administration is literally, their Middle East policy is completely falling apart. And while that's going on, we have this sustained protest in Iran, mostly led by women, completely unorganized. Exactly, it's the Green Revolution.
Yeah.
Protesting about the individual rights, liberty, and dress codes and everything else. I imagine the regime will do what they always do, which is violently oppress it. But it's a reminder, look, this regime is hated by its own people. It's a threat to the region. And I don't know if we should be more angry and hateful at the regime, or angry and hateful about our government, which actually tried to find a way to perpetuate and empower this regime.
Yeah, excellent questions. One final topic here that I wanted to get into with the Nord Stream 2 pipeline.
Right, yeah.
Maybe more questions than answers on that thing right now?
No, I don't think so. Look, I mean, it was obvious sabotage. You have two explosions on two pipelines virtually simultaneously. I mean, that just happened by accident. The Russians have all the capability in the world to do this. They have every reason to do it. It's not costing them money because the pipelines are shut down, and they can fix them again. It's completely intimidating, and it's so typical of a Russian op, right? Which is they like when they poison the guy in the UK, they publicly deny it, but then they wink at you as like, you guys know I'm lying, right? Because you'd be idiots if you didn't, and it's just the double in your face. You know, it's like the mafia guy that shoots somebody dead, and the cop walks up, and the mafia guy goes, "He tripped," and the cop walks away, and they both know what's going on there.
Well, but that's never anything that's going to be rooted out, right? NATO's going to blame; they're going to say it's sabotage. You know, it's sabotage. We know it's sabotage, but we'll never find out any of the facts, probably, right?
Well, I mean, who knows? I mean, what kind of forensics they could do? But look, I mean. It's kind of like the Occam's razor thing. When you take away everything else, what's the logical solution? It's probably the logical solution. I mean, who did it? The Ukrainians did it? I mean, come on.
But so what does this do for this whole conflict? Because NATO's saying, we're sending a strong message saying, you can't mess with infrastructure of our members, right? And we're going to do something about it. Well, what are their options to do something about it?
Well, there's a lot, actually. I mean, there are many things you can do to kind of ramp up protection on infrastructure and security of pipelines and everything else. And and remember, this was not on NATO territory. And it's actually the Russians are blowing up their own pipeline. They're not blowing up NATO stuff. So it's a way of looking very intimidating. But you really wonder, like, how on the one hand, look, Putin is desperate not to lose, and his way to win is for the West to blink, either stop supporting the Ukrainians, or force the Ukrainians to cut a deal, to get the West to back off. And so it's all about threatening and posturing. But honestly, the more he does it make him look stronger or weaker? Because he knows there are red lines that if he crosses, he's in a lot of trouble. And he's in a very weakened state. You know, so he sends 300,000, mobilizes 300,000 troops to scare everybody. But then what does he do? He sends people to the front without ammunition, without clothing, without weapons. And they're just getting killed.
Carafano, I got to go.
Really
I'm up against it. I'm up against the time. But you're always great. Great conversation. I'm glad we got into some organic stuff there as well. We'll have you back. I appreciate it.
Thanks, my friend.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
So yesterday we mentioned this. I think we referenced it. We didn't really go into a lot of details. Rolling Stone is out with a list of the top 100 television shows. They do this. They updated it, right? Because you got new shows every once in a while. You have to update lists that are sort of ridiculous anyway. Now, lists are just lists, right? You're going to agree with some. You're going to disagree with some. You know, 100 greatest guitar players, 100 greatest rock bands, all of these things. Aaron Barnhart, though, is with us. Longtime TV critic, senior editor for Primetimer.com. Welcome back, Aaron. How are you this afternoon?
Hey, thanks, Mark.
So, you know, I would take issue with some of these things. There's a few things that just seem like nonsense in here, like Schitt's Creek isn't even on the list, and you have Fleabag at number 5, which I did watch a little of Fleabag on Amazon, and it was pretty entertaining. I can't weigh in on the whole series, but you got that ahead of All in the Family, you know, Cheers, The Larry Sanders Show, all these things. What do you make of this list, Aaron Barnhart?
This list was compiled not by a single critic, but by kind of they took sort of a cross section of people who watch television for a living. So some of them are producers, writer producers, some are actors, and then they also talked to critics. They did not talk to me. And then Alan Sepinwall, who is the TV critic of Rolling Stone, great critic. He should have a Pulitzer Prize by now. He just has seen it all and knows it all, and I have a high degree of respect for him. And then he wrote the capsules. So it's not Alan's opinion that, like all of these HBO shows, I mean, I swear, half of the HBO catalog, going back to the Larry Sanders
show, have got in here.
Is in this list. And so for me, Mark, it's not so much how it was ranked. We can disagree on that, but I got to see some shows in this list that aren't in there, and then there's a preponderance of other shows. The one that I noted was that comedies, network comedies by Michael Schur, who's one of these, you know, Uber producers, writer producers, very funny guy. He gave us Community. He gave us The Good Place. He gave us Parks and Rec. They're all in the list. And there's nothing in here from Chuck Lorre, who is an incredibly talented.
Wait. Are you saying like The Big Bang Theory isn't even on this?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Okay,
Mom
but you, the
not
guy
in
that
there.
The guy that you just mentioned, Mike Schur, he's on the panel picking these shows. He was one of the people on the panel. That's just...
Look, he's look. I mean, he's got a lot of love in Hollywood, right? But you know, at a certain point, you know, and there's a lot of Norman Lear in this list too, right? All in the Family and The Jeffersons and Good Times. So, people. You know, and we're having a Norman Lear moment right now. I mean, the man made it to 100, and then he got to sit around and let people throw roses at his feet for 2 hours on ABC last week. So you got to love the guy, right? But, you know, at a certain point, you got to say, if I had kind of unlimited streaming subscriptions and could watch any show, what shows should I watch? And I would pick a few shows that are not in this top 100.
Well, so there, who is this? That Jordan Ruimi. I don't want to drag you into the politics, Aaron, if you're not comfortable. But here's what he wrote. I thought this was interesting because they've canceled some shows. So the Cosby Show it's been nullified. It's not on there because of Bill Cosby, right?
Yep. Absolutely.
Roseanne gone, not on the list. Louis.
That was a great show. Talk about Louis. So let's talk about those two shows, right? When Louis came out, it was to rave reviews because Louis C.K. not only starred in them and wrote them, he directed them, and he directed them with a certain indie film elan. He was a consummate auteur, and I believe that his program coming along when it did changed the face of comedy. Better Things. Which is Pamela Athlon. He co-produced that with her, Better Things. And, of course, people love Better Things. But, of course, when Lewis had to go, then he was, as you say, written out. And then with Roseanne, I mean, this is a show that, when it came in the late 1980s, reinvented the sitcom, made it more real, made it less phony. It was really the first kind of authentic issues-based sitcom since those Norman Lear sitcoms of the early 1970s, and for that not to be on this list is ridiculous.
Well, so the other thing that this guy points out is that I don't know how you judge. Louis was number 22. They ranked it as high as 22, but because Louis C.K. had issues with self-pleasuring.
In the original 2016 list, they ranked it that high.
Yeah. So, wow. But that was before he got canceled. So this guy says this, and I think this sort of sums it up. He says, I'm a huge fan of Atlanta, but the ninth greatest show of all time, laughable. Fleabag at number 5, inclusivity, hashtag. I've never even heard of I May Destroy You at number 19. Watchmen at number 23. This is simply a rewriting of history. I mean, it's a woke rewriting of history. By the way, what is that show, I May Destroy You?
Yeah. Michaela Cole's earlier show, Chewing Gum, was better. But, you know, this is an emotional, powerful thing about a woman who survives a sexual assault and tries to piece it together. It's some very moody storytelling. But my point is, and by the way, we're having the same discussion over at Primetimer about the Emmys, like how the same two shows get nominated for half the Emmys, and that needs to change. I just think on a list like this, take your top 10 HBO shows and throw the rest out, and let's move on to something else. Basic cable is completely unrepresented in here. Millions of people watch basic cable. Been a lot of good shows on basic cable over the years.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't take issue. There's a funny things that just kind of make me laugh here, like the number 17 is The Leftovers, and I loved that show. I thought it was brilliant, but nobody's really ever seen it. That's another HBO series, I think.
Yeah, well, but that's a good use of a list, right, to call your attention to shows that you may not have noticed. I mean, I put out a whole book called The Primetimer Guide to Streaming TV with 1,000 shows in it, and I can bet most people have not watched most of them. But I think the larger issue here is that many of these shows have not signed off yet. And yes, if you've made it 32 years, like The Simpsons, which is number 2 on this list, you deserve to be mentioned that high. But as you said, Atlanta hasn't even finished up yet, and they're already being placed at number 9. Trust me, when they do this list in 5 years, it will settle back to its natural position.
Before I let you go, Aaron Barnhart, what should be watching right now? I started Dahmer. I've only watched one episode of that. I kind of got stalled on a bunch of other shows because we have some interesting baseball going on in St. Louis, as I'm sure you're aware.
Hear.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no, that's the fun show to watch. You should always watch the Albert Show. above everything else. But I would say tonight, pay attention, raise a glass for network TV because it's still around, and CBS is, and they're all launching their new fall shows this week. And tonight is CBS's night to shine, because after Young Sheldon and the Ghosts show, they're putting out a little show called So Help Me Todd, and it's got Marcia Gay Harden in it, who merely is one Grammy away from an EGOT. Very talented actress, works all the time, and she plays the mom, who's a high-powered attorney, and Skylar Austin plays her ne'er-do-well son, who turns out to be her best and most effective private investigator. It's a fun, cozy little legal drama. I think it's well worth a watch. And
oh,
so,
all right.
Yeah, so tune in CBS tonight.
Network television. I'm being forced to watch Amazon for football. I don't know if my TV will go back onto network television.
Get out those rabbit ears. Do what you can.
All right, Aaron, always great to have you on. I really appreciate it. You have a great week and weekend.
You too.
All right, take care. That's Aaron Barnhart, who is at primetimer.com. If you want to buy his book, The Primetimer Guide to Streaming TV. We didn't really go down the entire list. Let me just do the top 20 here, Sue, because I think you would take issue with some of these. Number 20 was 30 Rock.
I love 30 Rock.
30 Rock's outstanding. I'm not going to take issue with that. Really, really good.
Might be my favorite.
I will also say that if I count down a little bit here, Parks and Rec is 30. I would put Parks and Rec ahead of 30 Rock, personally.
I would not.
Okay, but mm-hmm. they're right there of the best comedies, I think, of all time, really. I like both of them. All right, so 20 is 30 Rock. That I May Destroy You is 19. Saturday Night Live is number 18. You know, you could probably put Saturday Night Live in the top 10 if you just stopped at about 1980.
It's true. Maybe even a little beyond that, but I know your point.
The Leftovers. Did you ever see that show?
I don't even know. And when you say it was good, what is it about? What is it?
It's such a weird show. You know, it's hard to describe. You might remember this when I describe it. Justin Theroux is in it. I think he's Jennifer Aniston's
ex.
Is it ex?
Yeah.
Amy Brenneman.
Ooh.
Liv Tyler was in this. So it was basically 2%, and they never really understood what happened. 2% of the population disappeared. Like people just poof. And so what? And the Leftovers were the people that were still here. So society changes dramatically. And I don't remember this show was out 7 or 8 years ago, so I don't remember all of the particulars. I just remember Carrie Coon was also in it. I love Carrie Coon. I went up to her one time at an award show. I'm like, and she was winning an award for something else. I can't remember. I said, I can't believe that The Leftovers is not being nominated. But it was kind of a fringy show and a little bit hard to get your arms around.
Are you saying that 2% disappeared and left 97% or that 97% disappeared and left, you know, 2 or 3%?
So, no, 2% of the
population
left.
So, and that really changed things.
Yeah, because think about we have 330 million people in this country. So basically you'd have a million people. Oh. Your brothers, your sister, your husband. So someone could be married. One of the scenes, as I remember it, you'd have a family. They're about to eat breakfast. You had this weird occurrence that happened. And then all of a sudden, like, the kids are gone. Mom's there. Husband and the kids are gone. Why did that happen?
Ooh,
what the
I'm
hell?
Intrigued by
right.
that.
So
okay.
the here's the thing. After watching 3 seasons and that being one of my favorite shows, I still can't sit here and tell you what the hell that show is really about, Sue.
Huh?
So it must have made an impression. Because it is a little confusing. And it gets weird, but in a really interesting way. What is that
kind of like
music
that.
Right now?
Something's
do you hear that?
Yeah, I do.
Do you hear that in
do you
your
don't
ear?
Suppose that's
no,
your laptop,
iPad.
Is it?
It's my iPad.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while that happens. Where was
iPad.
I? The Leftovers, number 17. Twin Peaks at number 16. I loved Twin Peaks back in the day. I don't know if I can. I tried to watch it again.
Watch it.
It's weird. 15, The Larry Sanders Show. I love The Larry Sanders Show.
Everybody loved The Larry Sanders
14
Show.
Is an interesting choice. The Americans.
I haven't watched this yet. Where is it? Is it HBO?
That was
is
an
it...
AMC show.
I need to get back on that. All right.
Kerry Russell,
the
it
Americans.
Was really good.
The
I
American.
Never watched the last season, though. 13, huge fan of this show, Veep.
Oh, I never watched it.
You know,
see, these are these, you know, channels I do not have or
Veep,
pay for.
That's an HBO show, but that is
She's
a
awesome.
Funny show. The Twilight Zone, number 12. Succession is number 11. Now, I watched the whole first season of Succession, and I thought it was pretty good. People love that show. Number 11 seems a little generous. Mary Tyler Moore, number 10. Atlanta, that's just a woke pick.
Atlanta.
At number 9.
Oh.
It's just, we have to have representation. That's what they, again, good show, but is it number 9? No, it's not. Cheers is number 8. Mad Men is number 7.
Okay.
Can't disagree with that. Seinfeld at number 6.
You knew it would be up there.
Fleabag, another woke choice at number 5.
I was going to say, I can't believe that's number 5.
They were drinking and smoking a lot during you know, the composition of this list, I have no doubt. Number four, The Wire. I love The Wire. Mm. One of my favorites. Breaking Bad at number three.
Love Breaking Bad.
The Simpsons at number two.
Oh,
and
man.
The Sopranos. You know, Fred's probably listening on his way home, and he's like, hey, you idiot, we put a bunch of clips in here for you to play during this segment.
Are you in the mafia?
Am I in the what?
Whatever you want to call it. Organized crime.
That's total crap. Who told you that?
Dad, I've lived in the house all my life. I've seen police come with warrants. I've seen you going out at 3 in the morning.
So you never seen Doc Cusimano go out at 3 in the morning on a call?
Did the Cusimano kids ever find $50,000 in Krugerrands and a 45 automatic while they were hunting for Easter eggs?
Oh, my God,
oh,
Meadow.
Oh, that's hysterical.
Meadow was so great. And it's hard for me to argue against The Sopranos because that was a brilliant show. But lists are lists, you know, and
yeah.
Everyone's list. You like... You know, you liked 30 Rock better.
Loved
I like Parks and Rec. Community is another one that I like quite a bit. There you go. I think Rolling Stone achieved what they hoped. We're talking about them, right? Yeah, there you go. Audio cut of the day coming up.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Julio was just here in St. Louis for Fair St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
On the 4th of July, and he is now dead at the age of 59.
Sorry to hear that.
It looks like maybe a heart attack. So Los Angeles Fire Department confirmed that firefighters and paramedics responded to a call at 4 p.m. yesterday for reports of a medical emergency. Obviously, that was a big song, Fantastic Voyage, another hit from the 90s. It says an autopsy performed did not reveal the cause or manner of death, but it sounds like it was cardiac arrest or something. I hope it's not drugs or...
It sounds like it wasn't, but you never know, I guess. And did you hear the story? Now, he did not... just that Alice Cooper was in town yesterday for a show and somebody saw him eating downtown at Salt and Smoke.
Yeah, somebody mentioned that.
They put it on Twitter. I retweeted it if you want to see it. It's just funny to watch Alice Cooper sitting at Salt and Smoke.
Where was he, like, playing? What venue, do you know?
He was at the Stiefel. He was at Stiefel.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. What's interesting about that is I saw a bunch of people last night going into it. I'm like, what are you going in there for?
Well, there
I guess it
go.
Was Alice Cooper.
It was Alice Cooper.
My guess is either before or after Salt and Smoke that Alice Cooper played golf.
He's a golfer, isn't he?
He's like a single-digit handicap golfer. He's really, really good.
Wow.
So he's one of the guys that plays in the... In the pro-ams and stuff like that.
Oh, he does all that stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't realize.
I think so, unless I'm confusing him with someone else.
No,
but I don't
sure
think
you're
I am.
Right.
Well, sometimes I do get things wrong. Hang on, maybe I'm thinking of someone else.
No, I think you might be right, because that would just be bizarre, wouldn't it? Is Alice Cooper a golfer?
Yeah.
A golfer.
Well, so here's what Wikipedia says, or something else. Goes. Alice Cooper is a passionate golfer. He's not just brilliant at golf. He claims it saved his life. He took up the game 35 years ago and once played 36 holes every day for a year. I love that.
Wow.
I do love that. And yeah, he's kind of like a scratch golfer, I think, single digit.
He currently carries a 4 handicap at 73 years old. Not too shabby.
That's pretty good. Although he's hitting from the gold tees at this point, I think. So can you really count that? I'm just kidding. I can't wait till I can hit from the closer tees. I'm getting close. I'll tell you that.
Playback ready. Now, the audio cut of the day.
Audio cut of the day is sponsored by my friends at the Good Feet Store. It's all about comfort, energy, performance, and pain relief. This is just one of those uncomfortable moments for the president at a bill signing looking for an Indiana congresswoman who is no longer alive.
I want to thank all of you here for including bipartisan elected officials like Representative Governor, Senator Braun, Senator Booker, Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? Mm-hmm. I didn't think she was going to be here to help make this a reality.
Well, the president issued a statement, which he died in a terrible. Jackie Walorski was the congresswoman Republican from Indiana, died in early August in a terrible car accident. He says, Jackie, are you here? Where is Jackie? Here's KJP.
The president appeared to look around the room for an audience member, a member of Congress who passed away last month.
She was of top of mind for the president.
Karine, I have John Lennon top of mind just about every day, but I'm not looking around for him.
Yeah, I'm not
it's
sure who's got
solid
John.
Point.
I'm not it is a solid point, but the John Lennon reference was interesting to me. It wasn't exactly.
Maybe he's listening to his music.
Yeah,
he's
a Beatles fan or something like that.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Look, there was more interest in that maybe from some of the White House press corps than I would have anticipated. But you already have the spin. I was Googling this a few minutes ago, and this is the spin from CNN.com. Joe Biden's latest gaffe plays right into Republican hands. Chris Saliza. Okay, Chris, how about analyzing this from the standpoint that the guy who is leading this country, one of the biggest countries on the planet, doesn't remember things on a daily basis? Let's focus on the fact that he's not really someone who should be in that office right now because of his health. But no, he just wants to talk about Republicans. But that's what they do. Have a great night. We'll talk tomorrow. We've got a Reardon Roundtable at 3 o'clock.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.